Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. If you've missed any of my talk radio breakfast show, don't worry. We've put some of the punchiest bits of this morning's show into a bite-sized podcast, the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. Enjoy.
Online, on DAB, and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio.
By the Transport Secretary, Grant Shapps, who last night at about 9.45 announced that anyone returning from holiday in France, or indeed from business in France, or indeed French people coming to the UK, would face 2 weeks quarantine as of 4 o'clock on Saturday morning due to the rising rate of infections in France. Good morning to you, Transport Secretary.
Morning, Julia, and I'm sorry about your holiday.
Well, I'm sorry about yours as well. You were affected when you went to Spain in quarantine, so you've been affected.
I then introduced quarantine on myself. That's right, I did. And I returned home and I'm finally out of it, yeah.
It's a bit of a first world problem when people are losing their lives, losing their jobs, their livelihoods. We accept that. But we are talking about huge numbers of people affected when you did the quarantine in Spain. And there was no notice, just a few hours notice for people. Realistically, no one could get home. You've given the 500,000 Brits currently in France a chance to have an attempt at getting home, getting to the ferries, getting to the planes. And of course, another 450,000, including myself, having to decide whether or not we go or not. Why are these quarantines brought in at such short notice? And why is a quarantine announced at 9.45 in the evening? My understanding was that the advice had been given to the government to start the quarantine early in the morning.
No, that's not the case. So let me just try and sort of clear all of those things up. First of all, the French government didn't publish the information till yesterday evening, I think 5 p.m. That then has to be sort of crunched by the UK Joint Biosecurity Centre. Advice then has to come up to ministers. Ministers then have to meet. The devolved administrations have to meet. Those are the reasons why it takes a few hours from the information coming out till 9.45, but not terribly long. We were straight onto it. The other point, though, is an interesting one, which is, you know, in the case of Spain, as I well know, and to my direct cost, we introduced the quarantine almost immediately. With Spain, the numbers had gone very, very quickly, suddenly a long way north of the kind of cutoff point, which is we look at the number of cases per 100,000 of the population on a 7-day rolling average. And it had gone a long way north of the 20 figure in Spain. So we acted very quickly. Since then, actually, last week, for example, Belgium came in and we did this system where we announced on Thursday night and then brought it in at 4 a.m. on Saturday morning. It does mean that some people may be able to return. It's a combination of practicality, for example, making sure that Border Force are ready to enforce the new regime and sort of practicality, really. That's really what leads to these different times. Also making sure that the whole of the United Kingdom can move on it at the same time, which is always preferable rather than having, you know, Scotland doing one thing, Wales doing something else, Northern Ireland and England
moving
in different ways.
But a lot of people still very cross, and not just people like me who've been affected by this, by these sort of blanket bans. We know where there are problems in France. The French Prime Minister, the French President, Emmanuel Macron, have both been very clear about this. We know it's in Brittany, it's around the Marseille area, it's around Paris. And we have had this with Spain, where, you know, Balearic Islands and the Canary Islands included, and into the Costa del Sol, where there hasn't been a massive high rate of infections, whereas they were also affected by this blanket ban. Wouldn't it be more sensible, as we're doing in the UK, of having local lockdowns in areas where there are higher infections, that we give sensible advice and allow sensible, you know, people who say, don't go to this area or that area, that is unsafe, we advise against that travel, but everywhere else is safe? Wouldn't it be better to be a little bit more specific rather than a big blanket ban that affects effectively a million people?
Yes, it becomes, I mean, obviously this is something we've been looking at a lot. It becomes quite difficult to say within a country that you're traveling back from, you're okay if you've gone here, you can't go to here. It's pretty fluid, the movement within a country. And we were, for example, studying the graphs and charts, and I was talking to my opposite number, Jean-Baptiste Debarge, yesterday about the spread in France. A lot of where the higher cases are, Paris and the northwest and the south coast, are actually the holiday destinations as well. So it didn't prove practical. I take your point, and it's something that we continue to look at, particularly with regard to islands, for example, rather than within a country. But it's not quite as straightforward as it sounds to do that. And there's also within our own country, within the United Kingdom now, because we have testing of something like 250,000 per day, and we're going up to 500,000 per day. Just to put that in proportion, I think the French testing is quite a long way behind that right now, according to the conversation I had yesterday with my opposite number. We have obviously much more granular information about what's happening in this country and in each local authority. We just don't have access to that kind of information in lots of places. And as the French Prime Minister Jean Castex said this week, unfortunately, France has been going the wrong way. And we saw the 66% increase in just a week of positive tests in France. And we simply had to act.
Well, but here's the thing where lots of people get confused and think this is all unreasonable. So somebody who's been in France for the last 2 weeks, if they can get on a ferry or a plane or get on the Eurotunnel by 4 a.m. tomorrow, they don't have to quarantine. So I've got friends who if they got back at 3:59 a.m. tomorrow, not a problem, not considered a risk. Oh, at 4:01, suddenly yeah, they're a terrible risk. They've got to take 2 weeks off work, probably unpaid. Kids have to miss the first couple of days of school. I mean, obviously there has to be a cutoff point. And again, you were hit by that cutoff point when you went to Spain. But do you see why a lot of people just think there is a ridiculousness to this? I mean, for instance, also, I could go to France now, and then at the end of my holiday, instead of getting my flight back, coming back directly from France, I could drive to Germany or Italy, where there isn't a restriction, and then I could fly from there, and then I wouldn't be facing a quarantine. I mean, there is an absurdity.
You would be facing a quarantine on that basis, because it applies to where you've been in the 14 days beforehand.
Okay.
So, and you must write that on your passenger locator form that everybody has to fill out, regardless actually of whether you're coming from a travel corridor or a quarantine country, sort of regardless of the status on our list. And not to declare that accurately is a criminal offence. Yeah. I mean, it actually leads to a sort of criminal, you don't want a criminal record.
I'm not going to break the law. I'm just saying, in theory, could someone do that?
Yeah, but addressing your earlier points of, cutoff points, look, I understand why people will say this. I absolutely do, as you say, having been caught in it myself, to myself. But the reality is that all sorts of things to do with coronavirus have been cutoff points. Why is it that six people's okay, but not seven to mix with socially distanced? Why is it it's okay to do this, but not that? There always has to be a moment at which, a point at which, a decision at which you say this is the cutoff moment. And so for clarity, as well as for good reasons of administration, for example, Border Force being able to actually enact this, you do have to have those moments.
What about people who've been on holiday in other countries and are driving through France to get home, going on Channel ferries or on the Eurostar? If they get in the car in Germany or Italy, and they lock those car doors, they don't stop anywhere at all on the way, and they get to the port, do they then have to quarantine, even though they've not stepped foot in France other than in the port?
That's an excellent question, actually. So the guidance is very clear and published on the website. Anyone in that situation should definitely read it. It is the case that if you could drive notionally all the way through France from wherever you are, not get out the car, not get out on the tunnel, and find yourself in England, then you don't need to quarantine. That is the case. So we had this, for example, last week with Belgium, whilst France was still on the travel corridor list, and you could travel if you could travel through the country, perhaps travel through Belgium without getting out the car, without refueling, then that is okay. So there's very clear guidance, instructions, in fact, on the gov.uk website on exactly what to do in those
all
situations.
Right. And in terms of the threat of reciprocal measures from France, so people go, oh, well, I'll go. Maybe people who are retired and just say, look, I don't have to worry about school returning. I've not got a job to go to, or I can work from home when I get back. I may as well go and take my holiday. I can't get my money back. Are those people likely to be hit by Emmanuel Macron imposing reciprocal measures? Basically, they'll be trapped in their either their holiday home or their hotel for 2 weeks, unable to leave.
Yeah, their measures work when they've had them in the past, work slightly differently. I think that the it's obviously for the French to say, but I think that in the friendliest possible way, they will want to make it equal in both directions, I know. And we understand that. And this is not a situation any of us want to perpetuate any longer than we need to. Yes, you should be, if you are that person you just described, you should be aware that I think the French have indicated that that is quite likely as well.
Okay. And in terms of where else people can go, and again, there's no point me asking you how long this is going to last, because we don't know. And I know no one knows how long this is going to last, but certainly it's not just for a week or two. It's going to be for longer than that. Where else should we be looking at as possibly on the list? Because again, lots of people had holidays booked in Spain, cancelled those, went to France because that looked like a very safe country. Maybe a lot of people now going, oh, Italy looks safe. I think Greece, everyone was saying, was safe a few weeks ago. Now Greece is seeing their infection rate going up. Is it safe for anyone to book any holiday anywhere right now?
Well, probably a staycation is the safest thing, as I've discovered this year. Having said that, you point to an interesting issue, which is it's easier to become a quarantine country than it is to get out of being quarantined. So we have to act as soon as a country's rate gets over that critical level, which is what's happened in the case of France and the Netherlands, Monaco, one, two other places this week. But to come out of that system, we'll need to see at least a good 2 or 3 weeks of being below the threshold and that maintaining, so the country hasn't just dipped down into it. So it does take slightly longer to come out. But although I haven't added any countries this week, I did last week, and countries do get added to the list where we can see things are under control. But it is, I'm afraid, you know, this virus respects no holidays. It is absolutely, as we know, relentless, and we have to, I'm afraid, take it that there is a degree of a risk involved in holidaying this summer, and let's hope that we're able to do the right things to keep it under control here.
You got out of quarantine, I think, on Monday. You returned earlier.
No, I got out yesterday.
It was only yesterday, 2 week
quarantine. Yesterday, and I went straight to Scotland to see to thank the workers who had the first responders and emergency services in that terrible train crash in Stonehaven. So that was my first.
I saw the footage of that, indeed. And your family, are they out of quarantine now?
They stayed and completed their holiday, our holiday. So they only came back on Saturday. So they now are in quarantine whilst I'm free to leave the house.
You're free to leave the house, even though you're with people who apparently are a danger. So should you?
Yeah, so I have to keep distance from them. That is the way it works. So we are doing everything we can to be in different places.
These things do wonders for a marriage, Grant, I'm sure. just finally, I must ask you, I mean, obviously, talking about that awful, awful train crash in Aberdeenshire yesterday, big concerns about whether the train should have actually been allowed to travel at that time, given the fears of mudslides. Network Rail appeared to be claiming this is an issue with a climate change as a problem, but I mean, we've had terrible storms and water, problems with water on the track and mudslides before. Is that really what could to blame, or is this, does it look like this is actually poor judgment in that train being allowed to actually set off on that journey at that time?
First of all, I went up there yesterday, and when I got there, was taken up in a helicopter and flew over the wreckage, and I have to say it was something from a disaster movie, and my heart's just go out to all the friends and families of the three victims and the six other people who have been injured. It's a sight that I'd never want to see. And what makes it so shocking, actually, is it's a sight that we've not seen in this country for a very long time. It's 13 years since we've had a derailment where any life has been lost at all. So we're not used to seeing it. But we have seen these things in the past. I represent Welwyn Hatfield, and Hatfield was a site of a very significant rail accident 20 plus years ago. And just down the road on the other side of me, Potter's Bar was another infamous rail accident. But we haven't seen those things because we've had a good safety record. So to answer your question about, is it flash floods, and how much does climate to do with it? The rail investigation, accident investigation branch are up there now. They've flown up to Scotland. They are working on this with the Office of Rail and Road and Network Rail are there, the British Transport Police. I don't want to preempt what's happened here. What I have asked Network Rail to do immediately is a resilience test across the whole network, and then a report with the interim on my desk by the 1st of September, really digging into exactly the issues you've just raised.
Online, on DAB, and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio. Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. Talk Radio.
A regular here on Talk Radio. Good morning to you, Robert.
Good morning. You should come to the Lake District, Julia. It's beautiful.
I tell you what, if you don't think the last 2 weeks haven't been spent trying to find a hotel in the UK, think again. There are no more hotel rooms left, I can assure you. Let's talk about the A-levels.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot of criticism of the government, a lot of those headlines, very, very critical. A lot of criticism also of teachers. If teachers hadn't overinflated the grades that kids were going to get, Ofqual pointed to one school which predicted in two subjects across the board A's and A stars, implausibly high predictions. We wouldn't be in this mess. But shouldn't Ofqual and the government have seen this coming?
Well, what I think should have happened, we published a select committee report, I chaired the Education Committee a few weeks ago, where we said that Ofqual should publish their computer algorithm, the so-called standardisation models. It could have been scrutiny and it could have been tweaked if necessary. It's clear that there are lots of problems because 40% is a significant number of students have had their grades changed, and I'm concerned about something I care about passionately is skills and further education. And for some reason, further education colleges seem to have been hit pretty hard by this algorithm. And we know also disadvantaged students in disadvantaged areas. But the way to solve all this, I don't think we're in a Scotland situation, is what I've argued for some weeks now, is to have a proper, fairer appeal system where every student can appeal, subject to the head teacher signing off, an easy appeal system that has a fast turnaround. And I think if that happened, that would make a huge difference. And
that's,
then everybody
that's the
would
thing.
Feel they had justified grades.
Yeah, because the only other option, of course, then is to take the exams in the autumn. But youngsters would probably, I mean, some courses apparently are letting people start in January, but lots of youngsters would miss out on their course, miss out on their place, and having to start again from scratch, taking a gap year at a time when there are no jobs and you can't do any travel is hardly a good idea and unaffordable for most young people anyway. How easy and how fast can we have an appeal system? Because there are some saying that actually the appeal system from the schools actually should have been in place before the results. They've known what they were going to do for weeks on end. They should have told the schools what the results are going to be in confidence, and the schools being able to appeal the most egregious ones to say, look, I know we don't normally have any kids that get A grades, but this has been an exceptional child. Here are all their grades so far. Here are their GCSE results. You know, you really have marked this youngster down. They are an exception. If they'd done that, then there probably would be far fewer youngsters complaining.
Well, we argued in our select committee report because over a week or so ago, you could only appeal if you could detect bias or discrimination. And I think perhaps a child of a Supreme Court judge may be able to have worked through the appeal system. They have changed that now, quite close to the exam day, to allow appeal for mocks. But it's still not each individual student is still not able to appeal directly. They have to do it through the school. They'll depend on the school, and it will be based on their mock results. And some children may not have taken mocks.
Yeah.
Some may have done mocks in some subjects and not others. So why on earth not let every pupil appeal? Of course, the head teacher has to sign it off to make sure that it's a fair appeal and so on. But why not do that? Have a fast turnaround. The exam boards sort of need to act quickly, and then all this will be, in my view, solved overnight, because people will feel that they get the grade that they deserve.
Yeah, I mean, it's not beyond the wit of man, as long as you know the paperwork is submitted. I mean, it's and should those appeals be free?
I definitely think they should be free, because we're in unprecedented circumstances. I don't think that, because again, otherwise, what you'll do is you'll have an appeal system for the well-heeled, and people on or schools who've got difficulties with their budgets, they just won't do it because of the cost.
Yeah, and there has been this concern. It was raised by Sir Michael Wilshire an hour ago, the Ofsted former chief inspector, saying that, you know, this has hit schools in disadvantaged areas and disadvantages kids from poorer homes far more than it's hit private schools. We actually spoke to a private school head who said they'd seen a lot of their marks go down. But look, you know, if you've gone to a private school, you're already, you know, privileged. I don't think we have to worry about you quite as much. But a poor kid from working class area, gone to a disadvantaged school, you know, your bog standard comp, and he's done really well, missing out on those grades. I think we're all going to feel that is are the special cases. But it looks like there might be quite a lot of those special cases. Why do you think that schools in poorer areas have been hit harder? Because the obvious explanation to me would be that actually they're the ones who inflated the grades the most. But is there another explanation that's a bit more innocent?
Well, there are other reasons. So this is the problem, because Ofqual refused to publish their model a week, and they should have done this weeks ago, because then everyone would have understood it. Then it could have been, there would have been real scrutiny, and it could have been changed if necessary. In some ways, Ofqual are more secret than the KGB. They've now published some pages, but it is absolutely ridiculous what has gone on. But there are issues. So, for example, if a school might have been a failing school, but then turned around in the last few months or had some very good classes or cohorts, that may not have been taken into account by the so-called algorithm, because what the algorithm does is look at historical data. So therefore, you might then have students unfairly have their grades going down. Free schools have very recent history. They're very good schools. Their grades may have been marked down by the computer, the Ofqual computer. But we just don't know for sure, because Ofqual have been so secretive about the algorithm that they have done. And this has to be out in the open. We need to understand FE colleges have been getting better every year. And yet, for some reason, this year they have suffered. And don't forget, it's not just A-levels. It's students taking BTECs and other qualifications as well. We shouldn't forget about those students who have been disadvantaged by all this as well.
Do you expect that the government will perform a U-turn? Gavin Williamson, the Education Secretary, spoke to him yesterday. Absolutely clear. No, they're not going to be doing a U-turn as the Scottish government did, by basically saying, yeah, everyone gets the grade that they want, basic to all intents and purposes. They went with the teacher's predictions. If it was higher than the grade you got, you get that. If your grade was lower, if they predict something lower than you got, then you get to keep the higher grade. Do you think we're going to get a U-turn from the government?
Well, I don't think we're as bad as Scotland, thank goodness, as compared to what's happened over there. I do think there is a role for the regulator. There needs to be a check and balance, because you have to have a national standard and grades have to have values. So I have no problem with Ofqual having a role and a special computer model. Has to be the change is to widen hugely the appeal system, so that every student feels that they can have a chance to get the grades they deserve if they feel they've been unjustly treated by this Ofqual supercomputer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we shall wait and see. Robert Halfen, Chair of the Education Select Committee, Conservative MP.
Across the UK, online, on DAB and on your smart speaker, Talk Radio.
For people planning holidays, but it was expected, wasn't it?
Well, unfortunately, we've been looking at the numbers of cases rising in France, and it was only heading in one direction, so it seemed just a matter of time. And Julia, I know for a fact that there was an enormous amount of rowing actually in government about when this was going to take place, because There was a big call for saying, let's make it 4 a.m. on Sunday morning, because that will give all the people, tens of thousands of them, booked to travel back from France and other destinations on Saturday, the chance to get back without quarantining. But in the end, very, very late on, before the announcement, it was decided, no, it's going to be Saturday. That means that it's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah,
I've been checking the latest availability. I'm here at London St. Pancras International. If you were hoping to travel here from France, then from Paris, the last service is in about 4 hours' time. It's going to cost you £303 one way. I watched last night the price of the only British Airways flight from Paris to London today quadruple after the announcement was made. I think there's three seats left at £400 each.
Ouch. And again, this is on top of course, the flights that you've already would have paid for, which you won't get your money back from, unless, of course, I'm hoping some people can get money back for flights through their own travel insurance. But if the flights are still going, whether you're going out or going back, you're tough. The airline's not required to give you their money back, are they?
Exactly. Ryanair is playing hardball. They're saying very much use it or lose it.
Guess who I've booked flights with, Simon? Just guess.
British Airways saying you can take a voucher. EasyJet likely to be doing the same. And normally, package holiday companies would immediately, the government puts a country on the no-go list, say, right, okay, we're not running holidays. You can have all your money back. But there are some firms who are saying, actually, no, we think we can offer you a safe holiday in France. The fact that you don't want to quarantine for 2 weeks when you come back isn't our problem. And of course, there's problems trying to get back from Malta. No flights at all to anywhere in the UK today, I'm afraid, that I can see. There are various other routings available, but you could not route yourself back via, for example, Portugal. Cheap deals there, but if you change planes in Portugal, you'll still have to quarantine. An absolute mess. Eurotunnel saying if you're not on the 12 noon shuttle today, then you're too late, and please don't turn up at Calais, because we will not be able to get you on that. Similar story on DFDS ferries from Dunkirk and Calais, and P&O from Calais.
Yeah, I'd say I was able to alert some family members, some cousins of mine who were down in Biarritz, so a long way from getting ferries to the UK yesterday. I just texted them straight away and said, look, there's probably going to be a quarantine. If you need to get back, you are going to have to make a race for it. And they were able to book last night onto a ferry, left at 5 a.m. this morning. They've just texted me to say all the crossings now they're looking at from New Haven are now booked up for this afternoon and this evening. So I'm glad I managed to get to them. But this is it. Look, there are lots of people like me who go, oh, I don't get to go on my holiday. First world problems. You know, lucky me. I was very lucky. I got a break in July. I booked this back in January. A lot of people shouting, going, what were you doing, you idiot, booking a holiday? I booked it in January. I wasn't going to get my money back. We may as well go. And I thought, well, you know what? I can work from home when I get back. So can my husband. Daughter missed a couple of days of school. Never missed so much as an hour of school for any reason other than ill health to this day. But an awful lot of people affected by this, to say best part of a million, but also a lot of travel companies affected, people's jobs, a lot of people who are going to be joining us on holiday, two police officers. They can't afford 2 weeks unpaid leave when they return. This has massive repercussions for people and their lives, and a lot of people can't get their money back. This is going to be very, very upsetting for a lot of people. And a lot of people also just don't see the point of it. Because realistically, lots of these people aren't going on holiday to places where there is a high rate of infection. We know in France it's around Marseille, it's Brittany, it's Paris. Rest of the country, not a problem.
Well, sure. If you're going to be in some lovely tranquil village in the Dordogne, there is far less chance that you would contract it than you would do if you were, say, in central London. however, the government is not interested one bit in having any kind of nuanced approach. They just say it's much simpler. You're either a low-risk country or a high-risk country from today. France, the Netherlands, Malta, Monaco, Aruba and the plucky Turks and Caicos Islands are all on that no-go list.
Yeah, indeed. But again, that's not the numbers, is it? That means we know Malta, a lot of big package holidays. Spain, the numbers are huge. France, the numbers are huge. It's the large number of Brits in these countries and the numbers of them travelling back. We know, we look at, in terms of infection rates, 18 out of every 100,000 in the UK. France, it's 32, and it's been climbing steadily for a couple of weeks now. Holland, it's 40 in every 100,000. Malta, it's 75, so an awful lot higher. In terms of the people who decide, and frankly, I was kind of rather gung-ho on this. My husband has just texted me in the last minute to say the final ruling is we're not going to go. So I'm going to have a little bit of a little tear during the news break. But for people who do decide to go, I suppose the risk is not just quarantine when you get back, and maybe people, you know, like me could work from home, but also the prospect that the French could impose some sort of restrictions on you when you were on holiday in France. Now, Spain didn't do that, but France, President Macron has threatened that before. What's the state of play there?
When the UK brought in, to everybody's amazement, blanket quarantine in June, France nominally imposed quarantine on British people going there. There was some note somewhere which said, oh, yeah, we'd really quite like you to self-isolate for 2 weeks if you're coming in from the UK. But it was never policed. It was never enforced. And it was, as far as I know, ignored by everybody who went there. So it won't be serious. It would just be a tit-for-tat thing which will have no force. So I wouldn't be fretful of that if I were going to France right now. I might well, though, be heading over there and settling in for a very long stay because we have no idea when this quarantine ruling might be lifted.
Online, on DAB and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.